It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I am joined, as always, by Gemma Kaneko.
Hello.
And at long last, his return after sabbatical from the Cut Forecast, Ian K.
Don't call it a comeback, Dakota.
I'm going to call it a comeback.
No one
All
can
I
well.
Want. We got a lot to get to. You know, we don't have a lot to get to. That's a patent lie. I say that every week, and I'll be honest with you, I lie to you every week. I want this to be a safe space where we can talk honestly. And so
what you're telling us is that you're a liar and we should never trust anything.
That's exactly what I'm telling you. But great. Ironically enough, the first thing we're going to talk about is the news.
It's all fake news.
It's all fake
news. None of it's real.
None of it is real. Don't listen to anything that I have to say. I thought it'd be kind of fun to break down some of the interesting things that happened in the Cut 4 baseball world for the past week. Gemma, since I have outed myself as not being trustworthy, why don't we start with you?
Yes, as the most trustful. Yes.
What is one of the more interesting stories that you found on our site?
I thought this was actually a really sweet story out of Cleveland. A 67-year-old Cleveland fan named Jacques Mazzy made crocheted afghans for the entire team, for the announcers, for random staffers, for coaches, yeah, for Terry Francona, just because she loves them so much. She just loves the team so much. And she spent years doing this project because she said that it took her like 3.5 weeks to make every single one. And every Afghan has like a million stitches. Not like a million, but around a million.
As
so she
like
sent
a
her
million
note. But that's really what they are. It's really a million. And she also wrote a handwritten note with all of the Afghans.
That's really nice.
She wrote a letter and spent years knitting these Afghans. That's just the most incredible piece of fan devotion I've ever heard of.
Yeah, well, I feel like if I was a fan, or not a fan, a player, I am a fan. If I watched baseball, if I was a player, I would really appreciate getting like a handmade gift like that. Because I feel like you get a lot of like, you know, cheers and waves and stuff like that. People want your autograph, and that's all fine. But I feel like getting like a special kind of warm gift like that is nice. And it's something that you can use in the off season.
Right.
When it gets cold out, it's like a useful
gift. They were nice. Cleveland colors. They're nice blankets. They were
good. October is chilly in Cleveland.
It's true.
Just saying.
Yes. So would you guys like, what's the nicest thing you've ever done for a player? Have you ever done anything like that for any team? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe as a child you were like, because people bring, you know, we've had these stories before about players bringing like flower or like fans bringing flowers to their favorite players and stuff like that.
Put us on the spot for
yes, I know.
Yeah, wow.
Get it together. I've never done anything nice for anyone in my life, so.
Yeah, we just got totally shamed.
I have nothing
out
to contribute to this either. Like,
I did. I'm remembering this now. In like 4th to 5th grade, I in art class created a Mariano Rivera, like, I don't know what you would call it. It was like a piece of construction paper with like mixed elements, like fried pasta and like cardboard, and I created an image of Mariano on the mound, which I think I intended to send to him, but never did. I'm pretty sure. I think it's still in my parents' house.
That's really cute.
But it was a thought that I had doing something for
you
him.
You could still send it to him.
Yeah, you could.
I'm sure he'd appreciate it more now.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's a nice thing. That's like the nicest thing that any of the three of us have ever done for any players. So.
Yeah, I've not done. I expect them to give 100%. And if they give anything less, then I give my sheer disdain. And if they give that, then I just give an approving nod. And I think that's the nice.
Actually, thing. I forgot I did once give a player a gift.
What'd you?
And give? I actually gave a player a gift on our behalf as Cut 4.
Really?
Yes, I did.
What?
So when Bryce Harper said that the best bubblegum blower in MLB was David Price, I interviewed David Price like a couple days or weeks after that, and I gave him some. I gave him some bubblegum.
Wow, that is
yes.
Ian actually, you did do that.
That's
that
true.
Makes me think of you gave an award to a baseball
That's
player.
That's true, you did.
I did. What was at that time known as a Gibby Award,
yes.
Greatness in Baseball Yearly, the Cut 4 Moment of the Year, Cut 4 Topic
of
the Year.
Cut 4 Topic.
Cut 4 Topic of the Year went to Munenori Kawasaki.
Of course.
For his amazing, just general, you know, appearance in MLB.
I think it was specifically gone for he performed the national anthem.
Wasn't it? He gave a really good speech after a walk-off.
I think it was his speech.
Oh, that might have been
I think it,
it
was the speech.
Oh, that's what and he shouted that he was Canadian.
Yes.
Yeah. He's great.
So I presented him with the physical award, which is like a It's like a glacier. It's like an enormous piece of glass.
If you've never seen one of these awards, it's like it's a piece of plexiglass that weighs about 75 pounds.
It's so heavy.
It's so heavy.
Which, if I was like a player, that would be the award that I want the most, because it's an award that like actually has some substance to it. It's none of these, because you know, some of the trophies that, you know, MVP or whatever, it's fine. But like, this is like, you could like really do some damage.
I mean, no disrespect when I say it's like the best doorstop that you've ever had.
I like that, Dakota, you want an award based on how much you could fight with it.
Sure, yeah. I want it to have some substance, some mass. Good.
The Gibby Award had some mass, and I gave it to Mooney Kawasaki.
All right,
Yankee Stadium.
Let's move on. Shout out to the Indians and to any Afghan wearing Indian players, Indians players. Ian, what was the story that caught your eye this week?
In case anyone didn't see this one, the Braves Turner Field employee who caught Yoenis Céspedes' grand slam.
Yeah.
This is a couple days ago. It was, I think, the third inning of the Mets-Braves game. And at that time, it was still, I think the Mets were up 1-0. And Céspedes stepped to the plate, launched a monster grand slam.
As he is wont to do.
Yes. And the Braves employee who was out in the stands, I think he was selling 50-50 raffle tickets with like a bright yellow vest on, just reaches up one-handed and catches the ball. And then, like, realizes what he's done and kind of does this, like, insane celebratory gyrating dance. And then later gives the ball to a young fan, which is what you're supposed to do with that kind of thing. But it was, like, one of the best fan catches that you will see all year. The degree of difficulty was high. He was holding a sign that said, like, 50-50 raffle tickets in one hand. Mm-hmm. And then just reached up. And the form wasn't technically perfect.
Oh, okay. I see.
You know, you're supposed to really high point the ball and get it at the highest point you can. He kind of caught it as it was coming in towards his body, which really just increased his own degree of difficulty. But it was a clean catch, no bobble, really impressive.
The judges took some points off for the technique.
It's a high standard, but he did a really nice job with it.
Yeah. What is your feeling about, like, employee catches? Like, do you have to, because you're representing the organization at that point, so you have to, I feel like, put a little bit more kind of flair into it, a little bit more. You really have to get it right.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely do. Like, this, if he was, like, an employee and this was, like, a scrum of fans and he was, like, going all in diving, that would be an issue. But he was in an area where he was kind of the only one and the ball was hit directly to him. So, like, he had no choice but to make this catch, and he really came up big.
Yeah, I think Yo just wanted to enter the 50-50 raffle. That's all that was.
That's got
to
be
like he tied his $5 to the ball and just hit it.
Gave him a ticket. That
yeah,
was great.
I feel like that was the way to go. I'm going to talk a little bit about a man named Gary Sanchez, who, if you're a baseball fan, you've no doubt heard his name mentioned about 800 million times in the last 3 weeks. People can't get enough Gary Sanchez, and on Saturday, the Yankees were playing the Rays. It was the eighth inning. What happens? They say, you know what? We've had enough of this Gary Sanchez. The Rays have said, we too have heard about Gary Sanchez. We've heard about how great he is. Let's just give him a free pass. Let's put him on first. Deal with him later. I don't want to worry about this bat. And what do? They lob the ball in on the intentional walk. Sanchez says, you know what? No, I'm not going to play by your intentional walk rules. And he swings. Sacrifice fly. Plates the fourth run that the Yankees scored in the 5-1 win over Tampa. They asked him about it after the game, and he said, quote, I knew they were going to walk me, but at the same time, I wanted to be ready in case I could swing at the pitch, find something that I could drive. So he went into this knowing that he was going to be intentionally walked and said, you know what? No. Now is my time to shine on the intentional walk stage. And I appreciate that. Our Darren Willman, who is the director of baseball research and development for MLB.com, he tweeted that the intentional ball, the sack fly there was the slowest pitch put into play this year at 51 miles per hour, 51.8 miles per hour, according to StatCast. So that is kind of incredible. And I think it just adds to the legend of Gary Sanchez. And I'm sure Yankee fans are over the moon with what he's been doing for the past few weeks.
Ian, are you over the moon?
I'm over the moon. I am over the moon is here and I am above it. I do have a question, though, that I've been thinking about with this. if it was a situation where there was not a runner on third, like it was just a man on second,
mm-hmm.
and they were intentionally walking him, do you think he still would have swung, or was it only because he knew that he just had to hit the ball in the air to get a sack fly? Like, if he needed a hit, do you think he still would have swung at that pitch?
I don't. I think – I didn't read the rest of this quote, but I'm pretty sure at the end of the quote he talked about how he was specifically doing it with a runner on third. But I do think that, like, it this was more about, like, the game situation necessarily than something else. But I still – maybe not. Maybe going forward. Now that, like – I mean, hey, one out of one – in his experience, he has, when he's been intentionally walked, he's crushed it for a run. So I'm just saying, moving forward, why not keep doing
it? It's an advanced approach at the plate.
Yeah. Yeah. The zone, there is no such thing as a strike zone with Gary Sanchez. All right, let's move on. That you can read all of these stories on MLB.com/cut4. You can see some of these videos that we're talking about, see the images. We have photos of the Afghans. It's great. Go check it all out.
You can read the end of that Gary Sanchez quote.
You can read the end of the Gary Sanchez quote that I did not transcribe onto my sheet of paper. But let's move on here. Michael Clare, Cut 4 writer. Wait. Actually, hang on. We're going to move on to that in a second. First, we need to give a shout out to Corinne Landry, the newest Cut 4 writer,
yes,
who starts with us this week. Shout out to you, Corinne. You can see her work over at Fangraphs. She's also written at Crash Burn Alley. So we're really excited to have her on board. We're going to get her on the podcast in the next couple weeks for sure as well. But just needed to just say hi to Corinne first. Now let's talk about fellow Cut 4 writer Michael Clare, who wrote a piece that's on – we're recording this on Monday, and his post went live today about five players who are having incredible bounce-back years, veteran players who maybe people had written off, but guess what? No, they are still going strong. And I thought it'd be fun to talk about it right now. And do you guys have one of – either on Clare's list or not, a veteran player who was maybe – prematurely written off and is demonstrating this year that just how premature that writing off was. Ian, what do you think?
Yeah, I have a couple. I mean, one that was in Mike's post is Rich Hill, who I'm down to talk about as much as possible at all times. I mean, my favorite thing about Rich Hill, you know, it's always been an injury question for him. He was good last year at the end of the season when he came back, and he's been good all this year except when he apparently had the worst blister in the history of mankind.
Right.
But the thing that I like is there's all those cliches like crafty lefty and kind of getting by more on like smarts than on stuff. And when Hill pitches, I feel like more than almost any other pitcher, you can actually see him doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he has these super easy mechanics. He's not throwing all that hard. He's only throwing curveballs, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of see him thinking like, oh, maybe I'll just try this. And then he like throws the pitch. You know, maybe I can try that. And he's coming from all different arm angles and he's picking weird spots. It's just fun to watch and it's been working really well.
I know. Yeah. Well, that Clare did mention him in his piece. And at the end, he talked about how he's basically the $6 million version of Clayton Kershaw. Mm-hmm. And that, like, this year he's been off the charts great. And it's one of those things that people kind of thought would happen if he could stay healthy, but it was never really happening for him. And so it's awesome to see it happen. It's also awesome that it happened for the Dodgers, who needed somebody like that with Kershaw going down. Obviously, Kershaw's back, but, like, it's great. He's great. It's a really inspiring story, too, in terms of just anytime you have a player come back from injury, not just coming back from being bad like some of these other players, but coming back from being injured. There's something a little bit even more aspirational, I think, as well. Yeah, shout out to Rich Hill. Shout out to everybody. This pod is all about shout out. That's really what the Cut 4 cast is about. Gemma, who is the sort of veteran bounce back player? Actually, Ian, you said you had another one.
I do. Yeah. I have one that was not in Mike's post.
Oh, who is it?
Oh, mystery.
Can we talk about Hanley Ramirez
for
a minute?
Yes.
Can we talk about Hanley Ramirez?
I mean, he was like completely written off last year. It was like he, you know, got lumped in with Pablo Sandoval. It was like, what are the Red Sox going to do? There were all these scenarios of how they were going to get rid of him, you know, what lengths they were going to go to. And he all of a sudden, like, is good again. You know, he's having arguably his best season since he left Florida, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he's playing first base, which I'll never get used to when those
games
are.
It's like, super weird.
You know, and he's kind of changed the player, but, like, he's still hitting for power. He's got, I think, 9 or 10 steals this season. And it's cool that he's, you know, back.
He's not bad at first. Like, he doesn't look out of place. Like, he looks weird because it's Hanley Ramirez. But, like, if you didn't know who he was, he doesn't look out of place playing there. And he's been a huge piece of that offense, which has been off the charts great.
From your totally non-biased opinion.
Yeah, obviously. I couldn't care less about the Red Sox, to be honest. Gemma, what player do you think was prematurely written off?
Speaking of non-biased opinions,
yeah,
I'm gonna talk about Justin Verlander, but also because you can go back, like, I don't know, 15, 20 episodes of the Cut Forecast when we were recording during spring training, when you asked, who are you excited to watch in 2016? And I talked about how Justin Verlander was going to have a great comeback season.
I see. So we've entered the I told you so portion.
Yes, that is absolutely what is going on here now. Well, because I feel like you could definitely see this in his second half of 2015.
Yeah.
Like, basically, couple starts after the All-Star break, he just really... You could see the improvement. It was so clear. And I feel like he really has been able to bring that back into 2016. He doesn't even really get that many runners on base anymore. And it's great to watch. It's exciting when you feel like you have to, like, you know, teams can't be dominant forever. Mm-hmm. And the Tigers have had a really good long run. And it's exciting to think that maybe it's not quite over yet, for JV at least.
I agree. Yeah. It's funny, too, because it's different than the Rich Hill thing. In that, even though he was coming back from injury,
right?
It's like he'd put the pieces together before, and it was the kind of injury that you're like, oh, I don't know that he's necessarily going to rebound from this, especially
because he had to come back in a mental way. Definitely, I think that was a thing for him that is maybe slightly is a different angle from just the physical, because he used to just rely so much on just throwing really fast, and that
which
was it.
He can do again.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the
but
kind
he had
of
to,
amazing
right,
part,
but
is
he,
that the velo's back.
Right, which usually doesn't happen. But he had to, I think, teach himself a new way to think about the way that he was pitching, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the fact that he's willing to give up these long fly balls now, and that he didn't even really used to watch a lot of film, and now that he does all the time, you know, because he could just rely on powering past anyone. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I imagine it's definitely like an emotional journey that you go on when you're like top of the world, one of the best players in the league, and it's like, oh no. And people think, and they're like, oh, every blog is writing, is Justin Verlander done? Like, there is absolutely a mental component there.
Yeah.
And it's impressive that he bounced back. I am going to discuss another player whose potential early downfall, people were writing about it somewhat due to injury, but then people were like, no, maybe it's not. I'm talking about Evan Longoria, who this year, you don't really hear that much about Evan Longoria, I feel like, but he's been great. Everybody thought the power was gone, but it's back. And in fact, if he hits two more home runs, he's at 31 right now. If he hits two more, he'll have matched his highest total ever in a season. So, like, that has returned. And just, I feel like part of it, too, is just that the Rays have not been, like, one of the top teams in the AL East. And so part of why I feel kind of like he needs to be represented a little bit is because he's sort of doing it. He's back to the Evan Longoria we all knew, but he's doing it sort of in a little bit of obscurity. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Evan Longoria.
I think part of it is that he's just been in Tampa for so long that people kind of take him for granted. And like,
oh yeah,
you know, he's been there his whole career. He's been there, it feels like, since the Rays were a team. I mean, it's not true, but like
he's been there since they were the Rays.
That's true.
You know, I don't think he had debuted when they were still the Devil Rays. I could be wrong about that. I think that was his first year. Either way, it's definitely true that like he's a mainstay there, and so people. I think like even in the years when he was in the MVP conversation, it was like, oh well, of course Evan Longoria. And so when he wasn't, there was sort of this idea of like, oh, he's done, rather than just, oh, he's not an MVP caliber player, which are two different things.
Right.
So again, shout out to Evan Longoria. All right. But you should go read on MLB.com/cut4 Michael Clare's list. There's a bunch of other players there. It's really good. And if you're the kind of person who likes redemption stories, I don't know if that's the right word, but who likes comeback stories, go check it out, because the year's almost over and you should appreciate these guys while you can.
Oh.
What? Well, because the season's almost over. That's no, Gemma. Always going the dark route. Let's move on, though. On Friday, Clare uncovered Michael Clare again. This pod is basically about Michael Clare. Mm-hmm. On Friday, he uncovered this video of a Korean television show where they were having these teams of like acrobats perform incredible first pitches before Korean baseball games. It was mind-blowing. You need to go check this video out. Again, MLB.com/cut4. Go there. You'll see the video. and your mind will be blown. You can pause this podcast. You can go watch it. Let your mind be blown. Piece it back together and be like, okay, now let's listen to this conversation. Because the question is not first pitch related necessarily. It could be. The question that it made me think of is, why are there not more baseball themed reality competition shows? Mm-hmm. And we've been so good at creating television shows and films on this podcast in the past. Why don't we try that again now? So my question to you is, I'm going to pretend to be a studio executive and I'm saying, Ian, Gemma, I'm giving you the chance to develop your own baseball themed reality competition show. What is said show, Gemma?
My show is baseball's next top mascot.
Oh.
As you may know, there are three teams in Major League Baseball that do not have official mascots. Mm-hmm. Maybe they want one. Anyway, I think what we would do is I think it's a combination of like Project Runway and probably, I don't know, America's Next Top Model, but you're just mascots. No one cares what you look like. But it would combine the things that I like about competition-based reality shows, which is it's the same people coming in week after week. One person leaves every week, and there are just insane design challenges. And often on those shows, stuff comes up that would never come up in anything that's actually related to that industry. Like in Project Runway, they're like, go to the grocery store and make a dress out of food. Like, why? That's not going to happen when you're doing your runway show. But Major League Baseball is super weird. Yeah. So those kinds of challenges, I think, would actually make sense. You know, if you had to design your mascot costume to withstand being dropped into the Chase Field pool, could happen.
I see.
You know, all of these things are really true. Like, how can you, what's the next step beyond t-shirt gun and hot dog gun? Who knows? That's why we're going to have this reality show and someone's going to make it up and it's going to be great. And I think you'd have to design your own mascot costume, design all the outfits for it. You're going to have a shtick and like a backstory, music video challenge. Yes, you have to come up with every single part of it.
That's cool too, because then you could get like different kinds of artists together to compete.
Yes.
So like you can have the like fashion designers, but you can also have like directors and theater majors. What? Oh my gosh. And all kinds of other people.
And then at the end, either the Yankees, Dodgers, or Angels will take that mascot as their own.
I like it. I think that's a really good idea.
Thank you. It's a great idea.
I'm all in. As the studio, as the network exec,
We're going to happen. It's in development.
We'll need to get the team on board, but I think that this is
And the
is
judges,
great.
The judges would be like, because you know, they're always just like,
yeah, who are the judges?
It would have to be like the Fanatic. just as a judge.
He would probably have really strong opinions.
Sure. He's iconic.
Yeah.
And they would all be really humble.
Who would be the rude mascot? Who's like the Simon Cowell?
Slugger. It would be Slugger. Have you seen Slugger on Twitter? Slugger can be savage.
Like, that's true.
Yeah.
I like that. That's okay. I really like that. I still think that the Angels mascot should just be a mascot version of Mike Trout, but that's an option.
Maybe that's one of the competitors. Top final three. Get really serious.
Yeah. All right. Well, Ian, what's your reality TV show baseball style?
My show would be called Baltimore Chopped. It has nothing to do with
Yay, no, I'm so in. I want to watch the show. Does Adam Jones host it because he loves food so much?
Adam Jones is prominently involved.
Yes.
He would be the host, obviously. Uh-huh. Otherwise, the show has nothing to do with Baltimore. It's just Chopped, but with baseball players.
This is amazing.
Okay.
Chopped is our greatest reality show. Simple.
I don't know about that.
I contest that opinion, but only slightly.
It's amazing. The thing about Chopped, like unlike Top Chef or some of the other shows, is it really feels like you could be on it. Like, you don't have to actually be a chef.
Right.
And I think like this would be good. Just like baseball players, what do you got in the kitchen? Like,
some of them are really good at it.
I know.
I actually ask this question to every baseball player I've interviewed. I really do. I say, could you beat your teammates on Chopped?
And can they?
Most of them say no.
Who said yes?
Like, if just competing.
Max Scherzer said yes, and D. Gordon said yes.
I would watch that. So if it was Max Scherzer, D. Gordon, and you, because you're a part of this.
Oh, yeah.
I would watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, baseball players are people. Like, you know, when they're not eating the team-catered spread, they have to eat something else.
Right.
Some of these guys probably mess around in the kitchen, and some of them are probably good, and some of them aren't. But I want to find out, and I want to see, like, what they cook and how they cook it, and Baltimore Chopped is the place to see it.
I think the inclusion of Adam Jones is really the key.
Yes.
Is Adam Jones like the Ted Allen, or is he a judge, like one of the, does he taste the food? Like what
he's
is
definitely
the Ted
Allen? He would be tasting the food.
It, but he's like the host. He drives the
gotcha.
If you follow him on Instagram, that dude is tasting the food.
Yeah.
And like he has really good taste, so it's gonna be a true critic of,
right.
of what
the I don't know that he has good taste.
He goes to a lot of good restaurants.
I spoke to him in Cincinnati, and I asked him about the Cincinnati chili, and he was not a fan.
Okay, so he has great taste.
Clearly good taste.
Great taste.
Incorrect about that.
Shout out to you, Adam. What a weird chili.
No, he's wrong about that, but he's right about everything else. And I would watch the heck out of this show.
Yeah, I'm so in. So in.
Okay, my show, I went to a similar direction as Gemma.
Uh-huh.
I think Project Runway is one of the best shows ever, reality TV shows. So I said, you know what, Project Dugout, what if we get 10 fashion designers together and the winning designer gets to design uniforms for a team? Maybe the Padres, maybe the Rays, maybe the Angels. Just randomly named those three teams for no reason. But I thought maybe some of the competitions that we could include are they have to make, say, like a Little League team's uniform first, right? They could be, you could have like the dramatic, the host could come in and dramatically be like, we're going to have you start by creating, you need to specially design these uniforms for these high level athletes. And then it's the Little League World Series team.
So like Kate Upton, cool. who is the Heidi Klum of the show, would come out like holding
the hand of
like 15 Little Leaguers and pair them up with the designers.
I was going to save the hosts till the end, but I like Heidi Klum as a reality TV show host. And so I feel like she would be a great host for this as well. But Kate Upton probably makes more sense.
Baseball adjacent
right.
model. Yes.
Okay, fair enough. Some of the other competitions, I thought you could have to design an outfit for a major leaguer to wear to like a special event, right? So we can get like the actual fashion aspect of it. And Project Runway, they never do menswear. So that would be a fun challenge, fun new thing. And then maybe, oh no, here's a situation. A player just tore his uniform and we're on a road trip. We forgot to bring extras. We need to fire the equipment manager. But before we do that, we need you to go and run to the Goodwill and put together an exact replica of our uniform out of scrap fabric, right? Wouldn't that be great? Stuff like that would be really fun. So yeah, the host, I thought Heidi Klum, but I like Kate Upton. I think that's better. Matt Kemp, very fashionable.
Very fashionable.
And I feel like you need to have the baseball player judge to be like, well, this is not really wearable. This would not be something that we could actually use on the diamond. And then Chance the Rapper, pop culture icon, and he designed a line of baseball hats for the Chicago White Sox. So he clearly has an opinion about fashion, taste, and Major League Baseball. And it's just you need like a pop culture icon as part of this. That's part of the whole fabric that is the fashion reality TV show.
Can't believe we got Heidi Klum and Chance the Rapper.
Right?
So is Chance star-studded. The Tim Gunn of this cast?
That's a good question. I didn't really think out of Tim Gunn per se, but he would be good for that. Matt Kemp could also be good for that. I feel like
Matt Kemp is the Michael Kors, though, because he's the one who has the experience in the field, right?
That's true. That
literally
that's
really in true. In the field.
That's a horrible joke, and you should be ashamed of yourself for saying it.
Is that better or worse than Baltimore Chopped?
Baltimore Chopped is awesome.
Yeah, Baltimore Chopped evoked the image of Adam Jones eating delicious food, which is a positive. Unlike this terrible pun. If you have a baseball-themed reality competition show that you think is better than these three, and I will be honest with you, I am not sure that you do. I think this is a strong field of television shows. But if you do, please tweet it at us at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast, and we will retweet some of our favorite ones. And that goes to that goes as well for a favorite veteran player who is having a bounce back season, who maybe we didn't mention, who Claire didn't mention, or your favorite story in the news this week for Cut4, or elsewhere. Obviously, we're curious in reading your weird news stories that you find. Why not? At Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast. And again, all of these articles are on MLB.com/Cut4. But guys, we've reached the portion of the show where we sum up the podcast into 140 characters. One tweet that accurately and adequately condenses this podcast down into one bite-sized, digestible chunk. Ian.
Dakota saw me thinking really hard and pointed at me before I finished thinking.
Why don't you give us your tweet first?
Okay. Here is a reality show pitch. Which MLB player could knit the most Afghans?
That is a terrible pitch.
No, it's not. I want to watch that
so
much.
Some weeks you just don't have it, guys.
You
did. No, I want to watch.
You're out
that.
Of practice. It's been a while since you've been here with your forecast, so you're out of practice. I understand. It's like a muscle. You have to work it out. Gemma, what do you got? Give us your 140 character tweet.
I really want to watch Ian's show, actually.
Yeah, well,
sounds great.
I don't.
All right.
I'm in charge. Right. I'm the studio executive. I'm in charge.
Dakota just made this whole podcast up so you could be the studio executive for 5 minutes.
It's true.
Maybe I use this podcast to
elaborate
just
fantasy.
Make believe. Yeah. Gemma, what do you got? Give us your tweet.
Okay. Well, it's a poll. It's going to be a Twitter poll.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. I know, right? It's advanced.
Pick up that engagement.
Yes. And it's going to say, comeback player of the year. Which of these players can recover from their culinary mishap on hashtag Baltimore Chopped? And then it'll be, the poll will be people who have made gross errors in cooking on Twitter of baseball players.
Okay, I like
remember
that.
Remember that time Justin Verlander dropped a pizza in the oven? He would be on the show.
Yeah. All right. I would watch. That's a better one than Ian's tweet. I would favorite that. Okay, here's mine. Hashtag Project Dugout live blog, : OMG, can you believe Evan Longoria tore his jersey? Hopefully Gary Sanchez can put together a new one.
I would be like, is this a dream?
Is this one of those bots?
Are you like awake while you're tweeting this?
No, that was.
Is this like spirit tweeting? Like it used to be spirit writing when you just close your eyes and write.
What that one is like.
Horse ebooks? Is that you?
What that one was? I accidentally did that thing where I somehow sent all my drafts out. That's what happened there. So I'm just gonna delete that one. If you have a tweet that's better than ours, then we were terrible this week. So I'm sure you have one that's better than ours. Please tweet it at us at Cut4 with hashtag Cut4Cast. Ian, thank you for coming back after your long sabbatical.
It's so good to be here once again.
Well, good. I'm glad that you feel so thankful. And we're really thankful to have you back. We're also thankful that you're listening. And if you want to continue to listen to this podcast, you could subscribe to it on iTunes or on any other podcast outlet. While you're there on iTunes, you can either write us a review or you can leave us a rating, 1 to 5 stars. If you actually take the time to write out the review, we will read it here on the Cut4Cast. That is my promise to you. You can read all of our content, MLB.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Facebook.com/Cut4, and on Twitter, @Cut4. Gemma, as always, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
But mostly, thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.